Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, the first day of July 2013. It's a day that we in Arizona and around the nation find us really heartbroken and in shock over the tragedy that happened yesterday in Yarnell, Arizona, which is just south of Prescott, where a lightning-caused, fast-moving wildfire killed 19 brave firefighters and so far has consumed some 200 homes and businesses. Pretty much half the town of Yarnell burned to the ground. It is one of the deadliest wildfires in terms of loss of firefighter life in more than 100 years in this country. The governor has just finished touring the area. Whether or not she will call a special session to provide emergency funding for the victims of Yarnell, we'll find out about that in a few moments when we get an update on the fire. Plus, we have our Monday political face-off, and then Marshall Vest and Dr. George Hammond of the University of Arizona will give us the economic update here on the first day of the fiscal year. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. With me in studio, Vince Rabago, Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010, and John Munger, former Republican candidate for Arizona Governor in 2010. Vince and John, good to see you. This is a really sad day in Arizona.
It is a sad day, and it's a historic day in its sadness. It's a very bad thing.
It's a tragedy to have that many lives lost of our first responders who are, you know, courageously out there working on behalf of all of us to keep us safe, to stop fires. And it my father was a firefighter for almost 35 years, and so my heart's particularly heavy. And when they go out there and they're working like that, you know, the family is worried the time, and so my heart goes out to all of the families and friends and of course those who gave their lives.
Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Jeff Demand. Jeff is a resident of Prescott. He's a veteran reporter who has covered many northern Arizona wildfires. Jeff, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
My pleasure, Bill. How are you this afternoon?
Doing very well. I know you were at the news conference with the governor. She toured the area. Did she talk at all about a special session to provide emergency funding for the victims?
No, but she did sign a declaration of emergency, so it will be seeking federal assistance in fighting the fire. The Yarnell Hill Fire now stands at about 8,300 acres. As you said before, 200-plus homes lost, and then two Type 1 incident management teams. Those are national resources that come in and handle big disasters. They're going to be taking over at 6 o'clock this evening. So they're going through their briefing. More than 400 firefighters are on the ground, more on their way. I live close to the airport here in Prescott, and I can tell you the air traffic with slurry bombers and helicopters is quite brisk.
Jeff, I think the question that's on our minds right now is how could this happen? Why did it happen? And firefighters, I know, have an emergency protective. It's kind of like an emergency, like a sleeping bag that is fire retardant. Are you hearing that there was some kind of an outflow from a thunderstorm that had this drastic change in wind direction that literally encircled the firefighters in just a few moments?
Well, what ends up happening, well, yesterday afternoon I happened to be downtown, and a storm did come through, and we got quite a bit of rain in a short period of time, but we also had quite a bit of wind following that. And I turned to my wife and I said, that's going to turn into a firestorm down in Yarnell, because it's in a very slopey, hilly area, right just north of Wickenburg there, as you go into Skull Valley and that area. Then you come up the hill to Prescott, so with those downwinds coming off, all of a sudden we had winds out of the southwest, then all of a sudden the winds turned out of the north, and then from what I'm gathering, a big, huge downdraft came into their area, and they just could not escape it and immediately went into those emergency protection, if you will, that you had mentioned earlier, and fortunately they just could not be saved.
John and Vince would both like to ask you questions. Let's begin with John. John, you're with Jeff Demand.
Jeff, I appreciate all the information. Now, are these firefighters all local people? I know they're hotshots and they're highly trained, but were they all local people from the Yarnell area?
The majority of them are, and I'm very familiar with this Granite Mountain hotshot team because this is the only municipality that has its own hotshot team in the country.
Yeah, that's what confused me. I know a hotshot, but I think he works for the federal government.
Most do.
Okay.
And with this particular community, we had a fire back in 2002 called the Indian Fire, which was about a 1,400-acre fire, and it came very close to the city of Prescott. And I think that kind of spurred the invention, if you will, of this Granite Mountain hotshot team. We also sponsor up here at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University the Arizona Wildfire Academy, which trains hotshots in emergency management. And great person there, Tony Shaka, who happens to be one of the Type 1 incident management teams. He's from the Prescott National Forest. So this is his terrain, and you couldn't have anybody more qualified to head up that team. So I'm wishing him all the best. But back to your original question, the majority of them are from Prescott, and I can sure tell you there are a lot of long faces walking around the street.
Oh, today. Man, I bet.
Oh, boy. Here's Vince Ribago with Jeff Demand.
Jeff, is there any indication on what sort of efforts they do to try to investigate, whether or not the scenario that you suggested about the downdraft that wasn't in fact the case, and can they even do that given that the fire is still obviously very active and they're bringing in these federal teams?
Well, as obviously, the first thing is going to be taking care of this fire. Spokesperson there from the incident management team who did say that they are investigating it. And so I'm sure they're going to be talking to all the pilots that were flying over the area to see what they could see. So the details of exactly what happened is very sketchy at this point. But I can safely say, though, with the wind shift yesterday, and it was a pretty incredible wind shift. I mean, it wasn't just mild breezes. It was strong, solid wind going on. And in any kind of wildfire situation, when that wind shifts, so does the travel of the fire. So they were pretty much trapped. There was just no way for them to get out. And I do understand that, I'm just hearing this, I can't confirm it, but that there was a helicopter above that did see them in their protective gear, and that they were trying to dispatch a team to come in and save them, but they couldn't do it.
Did they have radio communications?
From what I'm understanding, yes, I believe they do, and I've also heard that there is a spotter, and feeds them with information while they're on the ground. But when you have, as I say, that kind of a wind shift, and you're around those heavy fuels, these flame heights are 20 feet high, and it is just whipping through that area. And as I say, this is far from a battle that is far from over. That's for sure. With homes being lost and evacuation still taking place, and they did say today that they were going to try to work on a couple of flanks and see if they can stop its growth.
Jeff, another question. Is this a forested area or is it chaparral?
Kind of a little mixture of both, but I would tend to say more of a chaparral area.
Okay.
A lot of ranches down in that area.
So this wasn't a canopy fire type of deal?
No. But okay. It can get into that area, and I think that's one of their big fears, is they want to keep this as get a line around it as fast as they can.
Jeff, how can people help? Through the American Red Cross?
Well, actually, I'm going to be attending a meeting this afternoon to specifically address that with some volunteers around here. Some 200 volunteers are getting together. I do understand that there is the Prescott Firefighters Charities Organization, and they've been raising money for various charities. And so I would imagine that will be a donation site. Of course, the 100 Club has already sprung into action, and they are coming up and taking care of the families by providing them with some funding. So the 100 Club might be a good place. But I will get back to you, Bill, on that and let you know exactly where the best place to donate money to help these families directly.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Jeff DeMand with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jeff is a resident of Prescott. This is very personal for him. He's a veteran reporter who's covered many Northern Arizona wildfires. We appreciate the update from Jeff DeMand up in Prescott and Yarnell. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. John and Vince and myself, we will be back with you after we take this break.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince Robago and John Munger, our team of commentators today. And, well, the Senate, Vince, passed the immigration reform measure. Now it's on to the House, where there's one big question mark, maybe two big question marks, in front of this bill, whether or not this particular version will pass the House. Many say it's very doubtful.
Well, you know, that's going to be the real question. Certainly the level of support that it came out of the Senate with 68 to 32 votes, is an amazingly high number. As you recall, I was back out in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of June. Mm-hmm. We were talking to a number of offices of the senators and representatives, and meeting with members, talking about the bill and some fixes that the bill needs and still needs. And some of the talk that we had heard was that they were trying to see if they could reach 70 votes. And John and I have talked about this before, how gridlocked that the Senate and Congress has been over the years. And so we were just shaking our heads, like, what? 70 votes? Come on. You know, they'd be lucky if they could break the, the cloture vote rule, which is 60. And so I was quite surprised that it was actually correct, that they were really shooting to get, about 70 votes, and they almost made it. They got 68. So that's a tremendous accomplishment in terms of how many people are supporting the bill. The bigger issue is whether or not the House is going to withstand that pressure, because it's not just as if there's 68 people, there in the Senate that are pushing this. You've got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce behind it. You've got the American Manufacturers Association and tech industries. And you have faith groups, evangelical faith groups, all kinds of faith groups across the country and community organizations.
And there is quite a diversity
It's not just a sort of a Democratic issue. You have a wide variety of backers. Now that, and John will weigh in as to what his perspectives are, is that issue, and whether or not the political pressure that has been tied to this as a result of the elections in 2012 and the demographic shift and the votes that happened, whether or not that's going to affect people in the House.
This has been portrayed, John, as really do or die for the Republican Party.
Oh, that's just ridiculous. I mean, everybody wants as many votes as you can get. The Hispanic vote, which is apparently what people consider the vote in issue, is 8% of the ballot. The Hispanics turned out in the last election. It was the whites that didn't turn out in the last election. I'm not concerned about the Republican Party living or dying on this vote. I'm concerned about doing the right thing. So that, to me, is just a total red herring. And the demographic studies and the political studies show that it just isn't that critical. Everybody wants comprehensive immigration reform, starting with the principle that the border be secured. This bill does a lot of good things. It encourages bringing in the country highly trained STEM people, science, technology, engineering, and math. It has a agricultural workers program, guest worker program. It has a lot of good things.
It strengthens the border by doubling the Border Patrol, which, interestingly enough, the Border Patrol has some questions themselves.
But the problems on the bill, there are also some problems, and they need to be solved. It increases the Border Patrol by 20,000 border agents. However, 40% of the illegal immigration problem is people who've overstayed their visas. And that is controlled by ICE people, not the border control people. We have a total of 5,000 ICE agents across the United States. That's 100 per state. And this bill does nothing to increase ICE agent control of the people who have overstayed visas. So the ICE agents' unions is against the bill. Similarly, the Border Patrol agents are against the bill. Their concern is that the bill does not, it gives amnesty up front. And literally, it says, from the day this bill is passed, you don't get a green card, but you become legal. That is clearly amnesty. Now, there's a second stage where you have to implement all of these improvements, the wall, the agents, and all of that. And at some point, you start your path to citizenship. But there is amnesty up front, whether or not Janet Napolitano ever implements all of these programs. And she has not done it in the past.
Vince, what do you say to that?
Well, what I say first and foremost is that there is no such amnesty in the bill. That's part of any immigration reform package where you have to give status in order for these individuals, these 11 million individuals, those that are going to become U.S. citizens, those that have the ability to earn that citizenship, that to have some sort of legal status. So John's trying to stoke the fires of fear and outrage by using language that certainly pushes the buttons of people on the Republican side of the aisle by using the word amnesty. You need to have legal status. Otherwise, how could you be in a process for citizenship otherwise? So that's sort of a red herring. The real issue here, the bigger thing is, for example, and John hits part of this but doesn't get it quite right, is the reality is the border is secure.
Right. 20,000,
the border is secure. It's more secure than it's ever been. Adding 20,000 agents does not help the matter whatsoever. If you look at what that particular part of the bill was put in there to give comfort, as it was described, but the reality is that's a gross waste of resources. When in reality, we ought to be using technology and other strategies. I think John does have a point on the issue of ICE, to the extent that if you're going to add some more agents, mm-hmm. and certainly not to the quantity of 20,000, you could beef up not only ICE but employment. Enforcement issues.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
ICE agents.
But so there are fixes. And but the reality is, at the end of the day, is that these changes need to be met.
I'd like to respond to Vince's point about the amnesty, because this is something that a lot of people don't understand. There are actually two stages in the status of the aliens. The first stage is when the bill passes.
Mm-hmm.
The instant the bill passes, they are given legal status. Now, they are not given a green card. They're just given legal status. They don't have to do anything. They're given legal status. The second stage is that when these improvements occur, then – and it's not clear whether they have to be done. It's not clear whether they have to be done or in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But the second stage is, at some point, then they start on this path to citizenship, starting with the green card.
So what's that
point? That's the first question. At what point do they start – do they get the green card? But the first point is they get legal from day one without mm-hmm. having to do anything. And that, very frankly, is amnesty. You are giving these people without anything – amnesty.
Vince says amnesty is a politically charged word.
Exactly.
Well, it may be a politically charged word, but it's a fact of life. If you tell somebody you go from illegal to legal mm-hmm. in 1 minute for nothing, that's amnesty.
Hey, for nothing, as if the folks here that are here working and contributing to the U.S. economy are doing it out of the kindness of heart. They're contributing to the society, and that's why there's an earned pathway to citizenship. Let me explain why this is going to haunt. If that's the position and John is expressing what hardliners in the House are going to be saying, this is why it's going to come back to haunt them and why they just don't get it about the Hispanic demographic. Arizona has been ground zero for the anti-Hispanic, xenophobic efforts to sort of describe and castigate
That's
immigrants,
hilarious.
And it has blurred the line intentionally to all Hispanics. Now, you'll have plenty of Hispanics that might otherwise say, yeah, we need to enforce the border, but they know, because they see the way they're treated here in Arizona, they see the way the Republicans have been acting towards them, and if the House and folks like John and the Republican Party keep pushing this and making it look like these are terrible people, we got to stop them, this is amnesty, this is horrible. The reality is that these folks and citizens like myself and others that are lawful citizens, born and raised here, willing to die for America are going to remember, and they're going to keep remembering, and they will continue to punish the Republican Party from here on out if this is the kind of attitude that the Republicans take.
Let me add this thought. I appreciate Vince's deep concern for the well-being of the Republican Party. But the fact of the matter is what we're trying to do is enforce the law and not give people who are here illegally amnesty for nothing. That if they want to later on perform a series of acts and pay a number of fines, fine. That, in my opinion, is not amnesty. But just giving them up front legal status, including all the felons that are here, that's amnesty.
Thank you, John, very much. And thank you, Vince. I hope both of you have a great week and a wonderful 4th of July.
Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a
Same
lot.
To you, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Dodge and Fort Lowell. Moe'sGallery.com. Our thanks to Moe and his family and their fine gallery. Please check them out. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The bodies of 19 members of an elite firefighting crew killed after being overrun by an Arizona wildfire now been retrieved from the mountain where they died. Russian President Vladimir Putin says that for Edward Snowden, the NSA leaker, to be granted asylum in Russia, he'll have to stop leaking U.S. secrets. And Putin says he believes that Snowden has no intention of doing that. Egypt's military giving the country's president and his opponents 2 days to reach a deal. It warns that it will intervene unless President Mohamed Morsi meets what it calls the people's demands. Updating Wall Street, the Dow trading about 93 points higher now. The NASDAQ is up 37. The S&P 500 index better by 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:34. I am Bill Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are at the midway point in 2013, as today is the first business day of the new fiscal year. And really, otherwise, it is the first day of the fiscal year. If Arizona has turned the corner on what has been a very difficult financial road since 2008, well, where are we now in that road to recovery? Joining me to explore that question, Marshall Vest, economic forecaster at the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona, and Dr. George Hammond is with us. Dr. Hammond, Associate Director of the Economic and Business Research Center at Eller, where he is also a research professor. He comes to Eller from the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at West Virginia University, where he was a faculty member for 17 years, specializing in state and local economic forecasting and regional economic analysis. Dr. Hammond and Marshall, good to see you both.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
How do you like Tucson, George?
I love it so far.
even when we've had three straight days of over 110 degrees.
Absolutely. You know, 100 degrees in Tucson is a lot easier to take than 100 degrees in West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, how are things starting to heat up for the Arizona economy, George?
They are. The Arizona economy is growing. Generated about 2% job growth last year, and we're carrying that momentum so far into 2013.
Where are the jobs right now? Where are we seeing job growth?
Overall, the job growth is a little bit in construction. That's bouncing back a little bit as the housing sector rebounds. But really, most of the jobs are in the service providing sectors. For instance, professional and business services, which is where you find engineers, accountants, lawyers, computer programmers, as well as call centers. Also seeing strong growth in healthcare, leisure and hospitality, although not really reflecting a tourism rebound. It's really eating and drinking places that are driving that. It's kind of local demand.
Marshall Vest, with the local economy adding, what, about over just over 5,000 jobs in 2012, what does that translate to? Some halfway decent job growth?
Well, yeah, it wasn't too long ago, Bill, that we were fretting over the fact that of the 30, almost 50,000 jobs that were created statewide, only 800 were created in Metro Tucson. And I remember talking about that earlier during our visit. So 5,000 jobs is really pretty good. In a very good year, Metro Tucson will create somewhere between 10 and 12,000 jobs. So we're at 5,000. The glass is almost half full.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions for Marshall Vest and Dr. George Hammond, talking about the next fiscal year, how we did in the last fiscal year, what's it look like for Tucson to continue with this kind of job growth of over 1%. I want to bring up something that is often cited on talk shows here in town, and it's just, I guess it all started as a headline, Marshall Vest, that the Tucson is the sixth poorest city in the United States. Did that originate from a U.S. Census Bureau report, how did all of this come about?
Yes, Bill, it was a very unfortunate headline that has been repeated over and over and over again. Tucson is not the sixth poorest city in the country. In fact, it ranks, the metro area ranks as the 105th among some 600 metro and micro areas nationwide. The ranking of sixth, if you were to limit the ranking only to those metro areas with a population of 500,000 or more, that's where that fifth ranking comes from. And I would suggest that if you were to limit the ranking to metro areas with a population of 990,000 or more, Tucson would probably be number one. The question is, so what?
Yeah.
So I think it's well past the time that we stop beating ourselves up over this very unfortunate headline.
Dr. Hammond, George, what do you think about that? Have you noticed there is kind of a negative flavor to when people talk about Tucson and the economy?
There is a little bit of that. Certainly my former place of employment, West Virginia, is one of the poorest states in the nation. So that's a song and dance that I've heard a lot of before, and I do hear some of that in the local area. Although, you know, I have to say that if West Virginia was consistently generating 2% job growth, they would drop everything and throw a parade. So, you know, 2% slow for Arizona, but you know, that is fairly significant job growth.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew has a question about unemployment rate. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, Bill, thank you. My big thing is, you know, we're entering the summer period. You know, it's a tough time for a lot of the businesses in Tucson to get through the summer and get back to the kids coming back in fall. Also, recently the unemployment rate seemed to drop in Arizona, but there was a reference to the fact that we actually had lost people in the employment sector that had left the state. Now we have, of course, the passing of Medicaid expansion and the potential for an increase of jobs there. I was wondering if they had any comments about any of those subjects. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matthew. Here's Dr. Hammond. George?
Yeah, certainly what happens to the unemployment rate for state and local areas is influenced significantly by migration flows, by population flows, and also by these flows into and out of the labor force. So that is something that you always want to consider carefully when interpreting the unemployment rate is, you know, is it going down because individuals are leaving the state or the local area, or are people actually dropping out of the labor force, meaning they actually stop actively seeking employment, or are they actually finding jobs? Yeah, certainly Arizona's been on the negative side of that with really slow population growth, and we think large numbers of people dropping out of the labor force. But I think more recently the improvements in the unemployment rate have probably been more driven by the job growth than by declines in the labor force.
Marshall Vess, weigh in on this migration issue.
Well, during the recession, we clearly lost a good portion of the population. Migration flows in net were significantly negative, which is very unusual for us. And what was going on there was many people, particularly those who working in the construction industry, left the state. Many of those wound up over in Texas, where jobs were still being created and building was underway. We also lost a number of people due to Senate Bill 1070 and the other measures left here in Arizona that encouraged people who might have questionable legal status to leave the state. But all that is behind us now, and migration flows have resumed. It's still slow compared to what we've seen in prior expansions, but the population is growing once again, and people are moving once again to Arizona and Tucson.
All right. Marshall Vest is with us, and Dr. George Hammond from the Eller College. And we're going to go to Mike now. Go ahead. Mike has another employment question. Go ahead.
Yes, I do. I'm very confused by the employment numbers that are coming out from different reporting agencies. The state, for example, just put out a report recently that there were 51,000 or something like that jobs created, and Tucson got 1,500 of them. And then the fellow from Trio was on Friday with Bill and said that they had facilitated 2,500 jobs. And then Bill just mentioned somewhere 5,000 jobs. And, I'm just kind of wondering, whose fuzzy math are we going to use?
Okay. I think for the 5,000 jobs, we were talking about the local economy added over 5,000 jobs in 2012.
Right, correct. From 2011 to 2012. Right.
Yes. Now, the 51,000 jobs added in the state, and are you familiar with that, Marshall, what he's talking about?
Well, that's a year-over-year
year
measure,
over year.
And it's been running just south of 50,000 the last few months. So most of the jobs, as one might expect, new jobs are being created in the Metro Phoenix area, but Tucson hasn't been left out of that. The 5,000 jobs is not that bad a number.
And I think he was referring to the interview I did with the folks from Trio, and we were talking about the jobs that they had created since, I think it was 2008 or something. So we're not talking about just a month-to-month situation.
Right, yeah. And typically when economic developers talk about jobs that they facilitated, those are gross job additions. And the employment numbers that we're talking about are net job changes that include both the gross additions and the gross losses.
All right, we have more with Dr. George Hammond and Marshall Vest. Talk about the housing sector, certainly, and how will the sequester continue to affect Arizona's defense industry in 2013? Those are a couple of the issues that we will be discussing as we continue. All right, a little bit of a power hit there. Certainly with the temperatures sustained over 110 degrees, that can happen. We're going to take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Oh, no, we are not going to be right back. We're going to have to continue on. And let's now, Marshall, let's talk a little bit about the housing sector. Marshall Vest is with us, UA economic forecaster, and Dr. George Hammond, also with the UA Eller College of Management. How about housing? How are we starting to do, Marshall Vest?
Yeah, well, the housing market is improving pretty considerably from very, very depressed levels. And housing and the construction industry is actually adding to growth now, whereas it had been subtracting during the recession. So we're now seeing housing prices moving up. We're seeing construction of new houses, building permits turning up. And so it's a real positive for the economy.
How's the outlook look for 2013, George Hammond, for the housing sector?
For the housing sector, I think we'll expand. I think the overall state and local economies will expand in 2013, but I think it's going to be another year of kind of disappointing growth, but growth nonetheless. Once we get into 2014 and 2015, I think we'll see the negative impacts of the sequester begin to fade, and I think the housing market will start to gain momentum in 2014 into 2015, and that's where we'll see the stronger rates of growth.
So, a lot of people are concerned, George and Marshall, about the sequester, especially those that work at Raytheon.
Yes, the sequester is a big issue these days. I think the sequester is going to hit Arizona a bit harder than the average state because federal spending, including procurement spending, is a larger share of the state economy. And within the state, there are big differences in the importance of federal spending. And Tucson is one of those local areas that gets a bit more federal spending, both direct federal jobs and procurement spending, than do most of the other metro areas, especially Phoenix.
Dr. George Hammond is with us. He is the Associate Director of the Economic and Business Research Center at Eller. That's the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona. He's also a research professor, and Marshall Vest has been the UA economic forecaster for how many years, Marshall?
Just starting the 35th year.
35 years, is that all, huh? How are we doing now? We're ready to go to – we can go to Joe, and then we can take a break? Why don't we do that? Okay. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show with George and Marshall.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have a question. The mortgage-backed security and the money that's being printed every month, rather than buying the toxic housing off of the bank's balance sheets, why don't they just force them to engage in capitalism and take that stuff to market, but then provide that $85 billion to direct loan assistance for small business and everything? I mean, right now, this just seems like such a shady backdoor deal, and nobody's talking about it. And then a lot of it is buying these other bonds. And I was reading a thing on municipal bonds and how it is just majorly controlled whole bond market by those four rating agencies.
Okay.
These are the guys. This is a real big deal, Bill.
I know.
$3 trillion market here, and many of your listeners right now are invested heavily into these things, but there's really no economic science behind this data. It's real murky.
Thank you
very much for the conversation.
Thank you, Joe. Let's hear what Dr. Hammond Marshall have to say about this. Who wants to tackle it? Go ahead.
It's not every day that I get asked to put myself in the shoes of Ben Bernanke, but I'm willing to take a shot. The Federal Reserve is has basically used up all of its bullets in terms of its normal monetary policy actions. So it has turned to some very creative, very very non-standard actions, one of those being the what's called QE2 and QE3. These are outright bond purchases at the longer end of the term spectrum. And a large chunk of those are these mortgage-backed securities. Why aren't those securities traded on in the private market? Well, it's pretty clear to me that those are securities that the private market might not be that interested in purchasing. So the Fed is stepping in, purchasing those, trying to drive down rates at the longer end of the spectrum.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Buckmaster Show. Marshall Vest is here and Dr. George Hammond talking about the Arizona economy. We'll be right back.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And here's the big thing, 15 degrees cooler. They have that mile-high elevation over there, similar elevation to Denver, Colorado, and Silver City, where they're getting ready for the big clay festival. If you love pottery, a full week, July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico. Many nice places to stay, including Burro Mountain RV Park, Spirit Canyon Lodge, and Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. It's the Buckmaster Show for a Monday. We have Marshall Vest and Dr. George Hammond from the UA College, Eller College, with us talking about economic forecasting. John Munger, you're up real quickly. Quick comment, because then they need to bring in Marshall.
I have a question, Bill, for these gentlemen. What do we have to do in Tucson to begin to experience some of the economic economic, not demographic, growth that Phoenix is experiencing?
Okay, thanks.
Be as prosperous as Phoenix.
All right. Marshall Vest.
Yeah, well, I think it's important for business people and leaders here in Tucson to recognize that Tucson really is very closely tied to Phoenix. And so the question that needs to be addressed is, what role can Tucson play in the Sun Corridor, as it's been referred to? And we don't have time to get into that, but it's a very interesting question. And I have some ideas on that if we have a chance to come back at some later
date.
Well,
you certainly will. We'll have you both back to talk about that. Quickly, Marshall, only a minute or so. Recent study from the Milken Institute shows Arizona a major player in science and technology, ranking 16th. How do we – I mean, that's good news, but we can even do better, can't we?
Well, yeah. You know, we see a lot of studies coming out, just almost one every week. And this one is very positive. It's from the Milken Institute, and it's focused on science and technology. And the results are that Arizona actually ranks 16th amongst all states. It's a very good, respectable ranking, and it shows that Arizona is a player. The downside is, in those rankings, we find that four states here in the West with whom we compete rank ahead of us.
California's third, Colorado fourth, Washington fifth, and Utah seventh.
Yes, so there's a lot of good competition.
What's
there.
The Achilles heel?
The Achilles heel, of course, nothing new, is human capital investment. And there, Arizona ranks 30th. We find that two of the measures, state spending on student aid, we rank 49th, and state appropriations for higher education, we rank 47th. So if we want to move up in the rankings, that's where we need to focus. That's where we need to invest.
Okay, Dr. George Hammond, thank you very much. And your final thought, George, the fiscal year 2013 will be what?
It will be okay, but better growth is on the horizon.
Echoed by Marshall Bass?
Yeah, I think the fundamentals are improving significantly, and we're going to continue to accelerate going forward.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you a lot.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show supplied by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are given a nice bottle of Culligan water. Boy, do we need the water on a day like this, right? Pure and simple, better bottled water. Culligan for all your residential and commercial needs. John C. Scott this afternoon from 3 to 5. Then the Wake Up Tucson guys, Chris and Joe, tomorrow 6 to 8. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at